Later in the same sermon, he said, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be your name." And then he said, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth." What's it say? "As it is in heaven." Later, just a couple paragraphs later, he said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." So what do we pray for? What do we seek? What do we hunger and thirst for? Is the kingdom of God to come in the hearts of men, and because of that, a miracle on earth takes place. Righteousness happens. Is that not what you hunger for today? You know, a wayward teenager, does your heart not long for them to do the will of God and walk a holy life in the miracle of Jesus Christ? Do you not long for that to happen on earth in their shoes? Is it not the answer to all that we know that's wrong in our world? This week I've been made more aware of just even more just death. Oh my goodness. What's going on in Quito, Ecuador? We'll look at some pictures later, but even yesterday and the day before, and what's going on in Cameroon, and what's going on all over the world, and what's going on in our backyard and our neighborhoods, would it not answer all those things if the kingdom of God would come in the hearts of men and they would walk out the holy, righteous desires of a holy God? Do you not hunger today for the kingdom of God to come in the hearts of people in this place? Do you not thirst for it like a dying man? Do you not say, "Oh God, show yourself strong"? Then if that's your hunger today, join the early church that's in the heavens before us right now, that's surrounding us with so great a cloud of witnesses. Those 120 that prayed in Homothumadon, one passion for the kingdom of God to come, they prayed and Pentecost happened. They are even now watching us today as a church. Would you join their hearts? Would you join the heart of Jesus? Would you acknowledge the hunger there is in you for the kingdom of God to come in this place today? There's enough that needs to happen in this place today, is there not? Join and pray. You pray, and then I will join you. Father God, I come before a holy God, but there is a holy hunger that comes from heaven, that comes literally from your being. You long, you want, it is your desire that every single man, woman, and child in this place would come to know you. And there's such a hunger in heaven now. The heavens wait to rejoice over one sinner that repents. And oh God, we join you now. We join you now, and we pray, God, thy kingdom would come on earth in this place, just as it is around your holy throne, that every heart here would be surrendered to your will. They would know what it is to walk in the holiness and the beauty and the power and the majesty of Jesus Christ. God, I pray there would not be a single knee that would not bend, not a single tongue that would not confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. God, I pray to your glory that would happen in this place today as we are saints. God, as we tap into the hunger of God and we come before your holy throne as one and say, God, do this work today. Grant repentance. Bring life. Kingdom of the living God, come in this place in power. And we, God, will celebrate you and what you've done. We're going to dance in eternity because this day you will bring victory. And we thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. We're going to come to chapter 6, the kingdom of God and the gift of righteousness. Matthew chapter 6. We're going to start praying today before I preach, and the gift of righteousness is where God is taking us today. Oh, my word. And Jesus is have been asked in another place, "Lord, teach us to pray." And then he responds to that question, and then we also see another parallel passage to that same request here in Matthew 6 in the middle of the Lord's Prayer. Verse 9, "In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed, holy is your name. We just got done singing, praying, worshiping. Depending on where you are spiritually, you are right there with the angels, worshiping God, undone by his holiness, or you were reading somebody else's mail. You know what I mean by that? You're either deeply connected to that, undone by him, worshiping him with your whole being, or you are reading somebody else's mail. Here's the truth. I don't care. You understand, I care about you, but this is what I don't care about. What you are and where you are doesn't change who God is. That's why this prayer is so universal. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Even if you don't feel anything today, even if somehow, some way you've drifted away, you know, that's what I mean. Let me scratch the thing, I don't care. I love you. I hunger for you to know Christ, but this is the truth. No matter what your situation, please hear this. God is what? He's holy. He's unspeakably holy. Let's pray. Father God, we come before you, Abba, Father, our Father which art in heaven. You inhabit the heavens. You hold the whole universe in the span of your hand, and you are unspeakably holy. You dwell in unapproachable light. The elders fall down, and they worship you and cry out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The energy around your throne, all that is in the heavens, radiates outward because you are so magnificent. You are so doxa. You are so holy. And God, we just acknowledge that today, that no matter where we're at, you are holy. And God, I pray that you would reveal some of that to us today, that we would walk into this message today with hearts humble before you, because the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And oh God, we need to begin with that today. Oh God, take us to that place where we tremble before majesty. God, do this, Father. Open up our eyes to see and our ears to hear your holy word today. Speak to us in the deep places. And oh God, in the name of Jesus, you would prevail, God. You would prevail over the lies of the enemy that are still trying to maintain their place in this house. Greater is he that is in me than any lie in this world. And we claim that, Father, in the holy name of Jesus. Amen. So after worship, the very first thing that Jesus prays for, and he said, in like manner, this is what we are to pray for. This is, people say, I don't know what to pray for. Yes, you do. Pray, thy kingdom come. What's the next one? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's the very first thing we're supposed to pray for. That's the first utterance of the heart of a Christian. By the way, just down below, he tells them, you know, in the same passage, that we're not supposed to have these vain repetitions. Don't turn the Lord's Prayer into some sort of magical mantra, okay? Oh, but the heart of God is revealed here. The single-minded passion of Jesus Christ that the kingdom of God would come on earth. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It is the very first. It is the very first. It is the very first. It's not seek first your bread, his provision in your life, not to seek first the other things that God, even healing. No, seek first the kingdom of God. And as we looked at last week, the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is right here. Jesus came and preached the gospel of the kingdom. He said, repent, for the kingdom of God is right here. It's right here next to you. And that was his message wherever he went. And then he upped it a little bit. Remember what he said last week? The kingdom of God does not come with observation in this world. It comes what? Entos, inside. And I want to remind you today that there are no ordinary people. If you're listening to me, if you're a human being, you're not an ordinary creation. You're unique. You're very peculiar, as Peter put it, and I kind of put the P in peculiar. I understand that. But you are very unique. The scripture says that you are a temple, that you are made by God to be the dwelling place of Jesus Christ. You are fashioned by the creator of the universe for intimacy with him. But it's more than just intimacy, like a being, like you might know your favorite dog or your favorite horse. This is intimacy. We're made in the image of God. You are the temples of God. And the deepest place within you is a dwelling place for Jesus Christ. And he is meant to come into you as your Lord. And when you surrender to him, oh, to you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of heaven. When you surrender to the King, and Christ the King, the Creator, the Star Breather comes into you, his kingdom as entos, it has come within you. And it is my story to tell you today that the kingdom of God is in this house. And he longs to be in your house. He longs to be the ruler of your life. And so that's the kingdom that Jesus is praying for, that the kingdom of God would come where? On earth as it is in heaven. That's only possible in heart after heart that Jesus takes over. If you have not surrendered to Jesus Christ today as your Lord, it is the hunger of God. It is the desire of God. He died and shed his blood that he might come in and cleanse you and make you a temple that he himself could move in and the kingdom of God would come in you, in us. It's the first thing that Christians should be praying for. After worship and establishing the presence of God, oh God, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And we're going to connect the dots between this phrase and a little bit later in the same sermon when Jesus preached, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things shall be added to you. Seek first. And a little bit above that, you know, he introduces this whole section in Matthew 6 here. With this war over what we seek. And he says in verse 19, do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth. Oh my goodness, this is my biggest concern for Christians. Is we'll start with this idea that I'm all about the kingdom. I'm all about following Christ. I'm all about seeing other people come to Christ. And then that parable of the soils, the cares of the world do what? They choke it out. They strangle you. You get caught in this energy of laying up for yourself treasures. This word lay up means to deposit wealth. You begin to think that what your purpose is on earth is to build your wealth. You lose your life trying to make a living. And it's all vanity. Nothing is going to remain with all of your effort when you're gone. And Jesus said, don't do that. Don't get caught in this thing that he said it this way, the Gentiles, the rest of the world does this, not you. You're about the kingdom. And so he goes on to contrast that, and it's in that context because, so here's this, it's the first thing that we pray for, and it's the first thing that we labor for, what we work for, what we lay up. This is the first thing that we invest in is the principle. It's the first thing we pray for, and it's the first thing, chapter 6, verse 33, that we seek. We keep the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All those other things, God's got you covered. So you put those two together and the kingdom of God, thy will be done, the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So the only two differences in those phrases is the will of God on earth as it is in heaven and his righteousness. They're both seeking the same thing. So here I want you to think about something, okay? The kingdom of God. We talked about it last week. It is Christ in us. We're seeking that in people. It's happened in us, and now he has commissioned us to go and be instruments of righteousness, to go out and reach other people that they might experience the same miracle. Amen? Okay? And so that's what we're praying for. And in the result of that is that the will of God would be done on earth and his righteousness. Right? It's the same miracle. His will is his righteousness. Righteousness, it's a word for innocent, holy character, innocent, holy actions. Think about that. How many of you know you're not perfect? Okay? How many of you know that? How many of you know that you're not innocent? Okay? How many of you know that when Christ is in you, you can do things that are innocent and holy and perfect before God? You can. That's the miracle of this whole thing on earth. That's crazy stuff. Righteousness. Here's the simple truth. We sang this theme today, and I didn't ask the music team to do this. God is, he's doing a lot of things. He's working. He's love. God is, the number one thing I want you to remember about God is the greatest secret about God in our time. God is holy. Oh my goodness. I was raised in the mountains. My dad has come to the Lord. He's here today. Praise God for that. But in our family, we worship creation. I was raised in the mountains, used to commercial fish. I had a lot of things going for me. I had this big buddy upstairs. I worship creation, but one thing I did not have a clue about is that God is holy. That was like a secret. I never thought about it. I never dwelt on it. But yet all of creation was uttering this speech to me that if he created this, he has to be awesome. But I never stopped and thought about it. The secret of our time is the holiness of God. We used to be a God-fearing nation. That means as a foundation, people had a fear of God. Not so much anymore. God is holy. God is holy. And the will of God, whatever it is, whatever the will of God in heaven is today at this moment, and he rules over realms that we don't even know about, whatever is his will in heaven, whatever he's expressing, whatever his desires are in heaven, first of all, they are done, and second of all, the most important thing is they're what? It's holy. The will of God that's going on in heaven is holy. It reflects his holiness. So everything that's going on in heaven is righteous. Righteous activity is the holy will of God being done. You get that? That's why this is such a miracle. Because this is not praying for righteous, holy activity to be done in heaven. This is praying that the kingdom of God would come in the hearts of men and women, and holy, righteous, glorifying to God, his will would be done right here on earth. Does your heart not long for that? And I'm not talking about legalism and rules and religion. That stuff makes me barf. But I am talking about seeing my children and my grandchildren walk in the holy, right will of God in this life. Is that not the answer for everything? Do you not know that if they walk in that, if they walk in the will of God, doing the will of God, if they walk in the fear of God and they hear him and obey him, and they walk it in this and on this earth, they will walk in victory, they'll walk in power, they'll walk in truth, they will walk in his love, they will walk and know all that God has for them, even if it's on this earth. Isn't that the truth? That's what we long for. By the way, this is the same on earth phrase as when Jesus was born. You know, we have the Christmas cards and it says what? Peace on what? Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And that seems to be a mockery, right? Unless we understand the kingdom. I look around this place and I remember the battle for your soul. I remember when deep inside, and I say that to you personally, many of you here, I've had the privilege of watching you and walking with you to the place of surrendering to Jesus Christ as Lord. I remember praying for you when it was still your life and you owned it and you were seated on the throne of your own heart. And there was what going on inside? Extra enmity, a battle between you and who? Jesus Christ as Lord. Some of you were believers, but you didn't want to surrender your life to him. You wanted to have a Savior, but you didn't want to give everything up to him. And so there's this religious struggle in you. And there's some of you today in the middle of that very same battle. But I remember so many of you when you finally surrendered to Jesus Christ as Lord. You don't remember what happened? What happened? Peace on earth. Goodwill toward men. Now you can walk in the good, precious, sacred, holy will of God. On earth, you can do that. That's a hallelujah praise. Oh my goodness. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven is a crazy miracle. Sometimes people ask me, by the way, why is there so much fallenness and death in the earth? Why does God allow so much pain? Listen, it hurts God. First of all, you need to understand, it hurts God. It is not his will, all this stuff going on. Why does he allow it? That was a different question. And I get to preach on that next week. There's no glory if there's no on earth. Why does he allow it? Because there is eternal glory every step you take in Jesus. Every step you take in obedience, every time you bring a thought captive to Christ on earth, as it is in heaven, there's eternal glory to that because of what happened. What just happened right then? A miracle. A miracle. When you look down on the earth and you see just how fallen we all are, and you see how fallen the world is, and you see how it's just a cauldron of death, you see that, you know, what do big sinners have? Little sinners. My wife used to remind me of that a lot. It's true. And you know, you just look down and there's so much death and there's so much destruction and it's just like a cauldron of just this, all this stuff rising up before an unspeakably holy God. And then when you surrender your life to him, first of all, that's an amazing miracle. No man naturally will die to self and surrender to Jesus Christ as Lord. No man will do that without what? A miracle. There's eternal glory in that. And the very first step of obedience you take in following Christ, boom, you take a step, eternal glory explodes from that. Because a miracle has just taken place. Why? Because righteousness, his will, happened on earth. If there was no death, there'd be no glory. We'll get to talk about that more next week. When his will is done, when he rules in us, righteousness happens. And the crazy part is, it happens right here on earth. Context. The context is so stunning. Blessed are they, in the same sermon, who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Did that ever confuse you, by the way? Because Jesus said, come to me, all you have burdened and heavy laden. And he also said in another place that he told a woman at the well, when you drink of this, you will never what? So how can he say you'll never thirst? And over here he'll say you're going to thirst. I want to tell you it's two completely different contexts. I'm here to tell you today that because of the miracle of Christ in me, oh, baby, I get to partake of a fountain that flows from the person of Jesus Christ. There are hungers in me that I get to partake of Jesus. And those things are filled in me. The things I used to just clamor for. Oh, my goodness. I used to pursue with such zeal. Everything I did was with zeal, by the way. I was one of those guys. But when I was hunting, it was an idol to me. It was how I what? I dealt with the hunger. And so I was like, I couldn't relate to somebody who wasn't like an absolute obsessed addict. I'm like, dude, you're not alive. I don't even want you in my hunting camp. Everything I did was that way. Why? I was hungry. Everything, every sport I was in, everything I coached, everything I've ever been in, before I was fully satisfied in Christ, I chased that with all, and guess what? None of it satisfies. Idols make wicked taskmasters until Jesus Christ became the functioning Lord of my life. And I'm telling you today that when you drink of him, you will never thirst again for the things of this world. So what does it mean when you hunger and thirst for righteousness? If you follow the Beatitudes, let's go look at them a little bit. There's a progression here that will help you understand that. Back at the beginning of the sermon, blessed are the poor in spirit. I'm praying for that for some of you today. Bankrupt. The road into this kingdom begins when you have no other roads. Blessed are those who have no other schemes, no other plans. You are bankrupt. You're not coming to Jesus to help get what you want in life. You're coming to him because there's no other way. Poor in spirit means totally bankrupt. When I came, there's a turning point in my life when I quit chasing all those other things and I turned to Jesus and I know I needed him and him alone. And when that happened, blessed are those who mourn. When that happened, for the first time I saw the holiness of God and I saw the cost of my sin as Jesus hung on the cross and drank the very wrath of God for me. And I was undone and I mourned before God. I did not deserve such an amazing gift. Are we in Matthew 5:4? Blessed are the meek, is in Matthew 5:5. Blessed are the meek. Okay, so in response to what Christ did on the cross, I mourn, but then there's another thing that must happen, and oh, it took me too long to do this. Blessed are the meek is the idea of is meekness before majesty. I surrender the ownership of my life to Jesus Christ. That was the hard part. Blessed are the meek. It's interesting, they shall inherit the earth. That means I've given everything up. And Jesus said, he that forsakes all, he that gives up everything is the one who will find life. And then there's a hunger that I didn't expect to happen. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. I'm telling you, Jesus became my all, but he also gave me his heart. In other words, he said, come follow me and I will make you what? Fishes of men. You'll walk into this world and you will hunger and thirst for the righteousness that you found in Christ in your lost friends, in your lost world, and the ones you love, and the people in your own roof that don't know Christ. You'll hunger and thirst for them like a dying man is hungering, like a dying man is thirsting. It'll become your life. It's why you get up in the morning. He not only gives you intimacy, but now he gives you purpose. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And when you take on the heart of God, and when you give yourself, you're hungering and thirsting and you're praying, you need to understand that's righteous. That's holy, right? Is that not the heart of God? Were you not just all about you before, and now all of a sudden you are about the kingdom? Guess what just happened on earth? You say righteous. Help me out. That's righteous. You know, I brought this a few weeks ago on a Wednesday night, and someone said, oh, I can't get that phrase out of my head because of that Nemo movie when that turtle's going through the, what's that thing? The EAC, whatever that is, some current. And he's flying along and goes, that's righteous. Dude, I don't even mind that image. Why? Because righteousness is stinking fun. It really is. When you actually, for the first time in your life, can actually love somebody with a pure motive. Again, the same sermon. What did he say? Love your enemies. Because when you do that, Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. What's he say down below, verse 48? Therefore you shall be perfect. People say, nobody's perfect. You say, yep, that's true about who I am before I came to Christ, but right now I get to do righteous. And it's so righteous that it explodes with an eternal glory. God's going to celebrate it forever because he was righteous when he did that. So when I forgive somebody, when before I couldn't, when I give up an idol because it meant when it meant life to me before, now I say, no, 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 no. You're not getting that grip on me no more. I cast that chain off. I get my life from Jesus Christ. That's, amen? So when a man gets up in the morning and he opens the Word of God, he gets on his knees and he seeks the Lord. He says, here am I, Lord. I'm giving this day to you, and I'm going to begin it by saying, Lord, here am I. Take this as a living sacrifice. That's righteous. That happens on earth. Oh, that's the answer to so much. How many women right now, how many precious ladies married to men would give their right arm to see their husbands walking in power and righteousness on earth as it is in heaven? Would they not know that they're going to be loved by the love of Christ? Would they not know that that man will lead that family in power? Do they not hunger and thirst for that righteousness? Oh, yes, they do. And every man that submits to Jesus Christ and walks in him, he leads them in the way of righteousness on earth. Even if you still got a clay vessel, even if you still got faults, he can do righteousness through you. That should encourage you today. It's a gift. Christ in you, doing things you could never do on your own. You know, there's a lot of theology about righteousness, and it grieves me. Because in all the theology, we've lost the power of it. People talk about, what, imparted, imputed. Yeah, I get boiling blood when I think about it. Part of it is stuff like substitutional righteousness. Everything that's key and powerful in the Christian life, Satan has come along and tried to get us away from. And religion has done a lot of that. Please hear this. If you want to understand righteousness, just remember this phrase. His will, as it is done in heaven, done on earth. That's all there is to it. Can you do that by yourself? No. Can you do it on earth in Christ? Yes. Do you get to? Praise God. Yes. Amen. We can do righteousness. We can do the will of God on earth. It's part of the beauty of the gospel. It's before I couldn't, now I can. And this miracle is possible. When you love your enemy, that's righteous. When you forgive, that's righteous. When you take cookies to the neighbor, that might not be righteous for you. You might be looking for compliments. But if I take cookies to the neighbor, that's righteous. People know I don't like people. Sorry, I love you, but I don't like you. The Lord has to make me go over there. That's righteous. It's in submission to Him. It's His will. I'm going to walk you through this little exercise of looking at what's righteous. Let's go to, because some of you are like, well, what is the will of God for me? How do I know if I'm walking in righteousness? You need to know. John chapter 13, what is the revealed will of God for the from the king? The king is now seated on the throne of your heart. You want to walk in righteousness? Do this, and you can't miss. John 13, 34 and 35. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another. By the way, he just gave this to people who were fighting in the upper room or being who's going to be greatest in the kingdom. That was not righteous, right? They were going to rule the world. They thought the kingdom was going to come, and they were not thinking about a surrender to Jesus Christ as Lord. They were thinking about what? Their own promotion, their own power. They were going to use Jesus to that end. That's all unrighteousness. But Jesus said this, a new commandment I give to you that you love. That means lay down your lives for the others in this room. As I have loved you, you also love one another. By this you will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. That's righteous. It's holy. He gave that command to the church. John, 1 John tells us that that is uniquely to the church and then to spread to the world. When you lay down your life for each other, that's righteous, and you cannot do that without Christ in you. At least you can't do the next word, and that is, he said, you got to keep this at every season of life. 1 John chapter 1. You got to keep it. You can't keep it. Anybody can try to do righteousness for a while, but you cannot do it by yourself. You can't do it by yourself, and you can't keep it. But you can in Christ. Look at chapter 14, verse 12. Want to see righteousness? Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, by the way, that itself is what? It's righteous. When you believe and you're functionally walking in the miracle of Jesus Christ on earth, in this world that's so fallen, that's righteous. And the works that you do, he will do also. Greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father. You can do greater works than Jesus Christ. Does that blow your mind? It blows my mind. Maybe you guys are like, oh yeah, no, I knew I was going to do greater works than Jesus. Not me. But that's what he promised you. That's what? That's righteous. Some of you are not even saying it now. You're like, well, I'm off that train. There's no way I'm going to do greater. You will too. You know why? Unless you're 79 years old, you're going to die when you're 80. Seriously. There's a lot of younger people here, okay? Way younger than me. If you walk out the will of God on this earth, who is in you? Christ is in you. So you look down your shoes and you realize every step that I take in him is a step following his will. Every step has glory to it. And if I intentionally walk in submission to Jesus Christ, I don't have just a 3-year ministry like he had. Some of you got 40 more years. Some of you have 60 more years. Oh my goodness, you get an opportunity to reach people for Christ. That's why he said greater works. He's not talking about feeding 10,000 instead of 5. He's talking about reaching more than 11. That's what he's talking about. That's why he said John 15, the fruit that I'm calling you to is a fruit that remains. We'll talk about that later. But that's righteous, people. To know that Christ in you for years of ministry is meant to bring glory to his name. That's righteous. And you get to do this. You can walk all the way through John 14, and there's so many things. Just pick on another one. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Your prayer life will explode in power. That's righteous. That's what happens when you're walking in Christ. It'll explode in power. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments, verse 15. And I will pray the Father, and he'll give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. And the Spirit of truth, whom the world does not receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you'll know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. By the way, one of the most beautiful things about walking the righteous life is the revelation of Jesus Christ. He goes on to say, if you keep this command, I will manifest myself to you. And it's literally a diamond turning in the sun. I will show you more and more and more of who I am. And I'm telling you today, I fall in love with Jesus more and more and more every day. That's righteous. That's a beautiful thing. By the way, how many of you can say that about your marriage? I can. I just want to take a little minute here. I got to go for a drive with my wife for 3 days this week, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Oh my goodness, it was beautiful outside and it was beautiful inside. I had an amazing time. Just a little thing. I just wanted you to know that. Verse 19, I will a little while longer and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. And that day you will know that I am in the Father and you in me and I in you. And he who has my commandments and keeps them is he who loves me. I want to say right here, I'm only talk about two more points in this because there's so much, but two more points. You want to know what it is to really love Jesus? Keep his command. Because when you're walking in obedience to Jesus Christ, and the command that he keeps talking about keeping here is the command to love one another. It is an everyday walk of surrender. Just FYI, if you're here visiting the church, please understand my philosophy. The church is the flesh and bones of Jesus Christ. We are commanded as believers to literally lay down our life for each other. So if you're not looking for a place to lay down your life, please come back. But I will not quit preaching that. We are commanded to love one another. And that's what? Say it. That's what? That's righteous. That's what Jesus did for us. And if you say, I love him, but I don't love them, that's just sin. That's saying I won't do his will. That's just wrong. 1 John says that makes you a liar. But if you love him and he's the Lord of your life and he's seated on the throne of your heart and he commands you to love them, what are you going to do? Yes, Lord. And you're going to keep that command. And when you do, that's when you're going to know that you truly love him. That's why 1 John says, he that says he loves God and doesn't do this, what's happening? A lie is going on in your head. Do you want to know that your love is real for Jesus? Keep walking out the righteous path of loving one another. And then he tells them, there's only one other thing I want to point out to you today, and this is huge to me. If anyone loves me, verse 23, and keeps my word, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. This is so on my heart today. This, we will come and make our home. It's a word for it, that the Trinity will move in as I walk with Jesus in righteousness, and he will build my home in a way that my home will stand in the storms. On earth, my home will stand. I'm going to have Wendy play a little clip. I have an adopted daughter in Ecuador. And this is what's going on in Quito right now. So we're going to pray for Cato. But this is, I put this little image in front of you because the storms that are coming in our life, we live in a country where we think we're really insulated from all that stuff. Remember I said earlier, the world is like a cauldron of sin. You have no idea the storms are coming. Jesus did not say if the storms come. He said when the storms come. And they're the kind of storms that will tear down every house that's not built upon Jesus Christ. Part of the beauty of the gift of righteousness and following Jesus Christ and keeping his commands and walking with him is he has this promise, myself, he said, myself, the Father, the Holy Spirit, we will come into you and we will build this home and we will build a life and we'll build a legacy that when the storms hit, your house will still stand. Oh, is righteousness a beautiful gift? I want to encourage you today because it's a gift that brings glory to God in the midst of a world that's being blown apart. That's what brings it glory. Do we need this? Do you need this? How many of you hunger and thirst for righteousness? That's the driving force of our prayer life, right? That's why as soon as we get done with worship, our heart goes right away, oh, God, thy kingdom, come. Come in my neighbor. Come in my beloved. Come in this. God, come in this person. God, thy kingdom, come. Thy will be done in them on earth right here. Oh, God, that they would come to know you as their Lord. They would surrender their very way to you, and they would know what it is to walk in righteousness and life and truth. Do you hunger for that today? Then I'm going to ask you to pray right now because there are people in this room who have never surrendered to Jesus Christ as Lord. You can't walk in righteousness. Any righteousness that you try to walk in, Romans chapter 10, is your own righteousness. And see, I pray that there's not a religious bone, there's not a religious person in this place. Because religion is a lie. Only when you submit to the righteousness that comes through the miracle of Christ coming in as your Lord can you walk in the miracle of doing His will on earth as it is in heaven. Only then. And so I want to invite you today. I'm going to have the worship team come and lead us in a closing song. And this is an opportunity, not for you to just to turn and listen to the song or a little break. If Jesus Christ is not the Lord of your life, you cannot walk in the righteous and beautiful will of God. You are outside the kingdom. If you come to that turning point today where you're poor in spirit, if you come to that place where you say, you know what, I'm done with all my schemes. I've seen that Christ died on the cross for me, and I know that I need to surrender my will to Him, but there's a war going on. Let me pray for you now. Father God, as I come before your throne, God, I pray, oh God, thy kingdom come on earth in that very heart that's struggling with you right now. Some of them, even before me now, God, you've got names and faces, and you've, oh God, you have crushed me. There's a hunger in heaven for these people. You long to come in. Jesus, you are even now standing at the door, but you're not just standing there empty-handed. You're standing there with your own blood. You long to come into these temples and cleanse them and make them your very children. Hagios, holy ones, cleansed by the blood, able to walk in new life. God, the only thing between that eternal life that begins now and this, the only thing standing between Jesus is their own volitional will saying, no, it's my life. And God, today I pray that you would convict of sin and righteousness and judgment, that you would grant repentance, that someone today would be willing to say, it's not my life anymore. The deepest part of my being, I surrender to Jesus Christ as Lord. I make Him to be. I surrender everything to Him, and I confess before God and witnesses that Jesus Christ is now the Lord of my life. And I pray today, God, you would grant somebody that kind of repentance, that they would know what it is to have the miracle of Christ come in with His blood, His power, and His will, and lead them in the way of righteousness. God, we hunger and thirst for that today. The heavens long for that today. As we sing this closing song, I pray that you would hear, you would respond. You would respond not to the song, but to the Lord Himself trying to draw you into the kingdom. You would leave behind that which is dead, and you'd come gloriously to know Jesus Christ as your Lord today. Father, do this work. Bring glory to your name. And we thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Jesus, that you are standing at the door of our hearts right now with your blood that is still fresh. And you are knocking, you are calling, you are inviting, and your arms are open, ready, God, to embrace and welcome anyone that comes to you and surrender. And I know, God, that right here, you know every heart, God, that is yearning, every heart that wants to run to you. I pray that you will receive them. But God, more importantly, I pray today for all of us that are praying for somebody out there, I pray for the repentance of somebody out there. I pray that the hunger of righteousness, God, will visit them. And I thank you for the power of your word. May it bear fruit. And I pray for your servant that you will continue to strengthen him and protect him and use him for your glory. And I thank you for everyone, God, that work up front here because some part of their lives need to be rededicated to you. May you hear and may you answer them, O Jesus. Have your way and bless our day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.